Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your eye, your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, or rather, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we pray that you would bring application to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we thank you that you desire to use us for your glory and honor each and every day. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. You know, God wants to use each one of you. You're very special. And he loves you. And some of you, God has been using you. You have given your life to Christ, and you see progress. But the beauty of our God is that no matter where you are, whether you've been walking with the Lord for a short time or whether you've been walking the Lord for years, he always wants to use you more. He created you, and he knows your maximum potential. That's something that you and I, we don't know. And I wonder what our life would look like if we continue to just surrender ourselves to the Lord more and more. What our life could look like in a year, in 2 years. And not so much our life in the sense of how we benefit, but how much more our lives can be of greater value and bring more fruit for the glory of God. And I know that that's exactly what God wants for each one of us. God wants to use us more and more and more. And there are some hindrances in the process. And because God knows that we're prone at times to kind of fall back or default to certain types of habits that aren't healthy, he often will bring these things that I'm going to mention to us to our remembrance, things that he doesn't want us to do because it hinders our progress. And we can, by default, go back to doing certain things that the Spirit of God, maybe at one point in our history, emphasized to us that, hey, this is wrong. And maybe when you were a young and new believer, you had so much love. You experienced the love of God in such a profound way that you were very merciful in your dealings with other people. And you were patient, but now over time you've become a little harder and more critical. And that's it. One of the things that can hinder our progress in growing more for greater usefulness is being critical of other people. And so Jesus, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. And the type of judgment that Jesus is talking about is not like the judicial judging when someone does a wrong, a crime, There needs to be judgment. That's why there's the law. And those that determine what the penalties for those crimes will be. And we hope and pray that there's fair punishment, that the judge judges fairly on each case, and that the punishment and the crime, they fit. They're fair. And even in a corporate setting, you see in the scriptures where we have to judge different issues in the church. There might not be crimes out there in the world as far as the world is concerned, but in the church, they go against God's will. And so as Christians and as a church, sometimes we have to judge over these matters. Jesus is not talking about those kinds of judgment. What he's talking about is people who become critical of others on a personal note, on a personal level rather, and become fault finders. The thing is that all of us can relate and understand what that is, because all of us are guilty of doing that, aren't we? We look at people and we assess people and we judge people based on externals. We may not even know a person and judge them and form opinions of people. And what right do we have? What right do we have? Because as far as God sees all of us are guilty of doing wrong. Every single one of us have idiosyncrasies. All of us have blown it. And we will continue to blow it. That's not what we want, but we're sinners. And so we're going to, from time to time, we're going to blow it. So Jesus is addressing the kind of attitude that a person has where they come down on other people and can be very harsh on other people, very critical of other people, finding fault in other people. Meanwhile, coming from the same background and falling short yourself. And that's what he's condemning. He says, look, bottom line, all of us share in stumblings. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our problems. And we better be very careful that we aren't overly critical of other people, because that hinders us from being able to help other people. And so he says, judge not, that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you're critical of others, people will be critical of you. If you have no mercy with others, you'll find that when you're in need, people may not be as merciful with you. And that's what he's saying here. I think Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, if you turn there, gives us even more of the picture for our understanding of the kind of attitude and spirit that he wants us to have as his followers and as those who are seeking to be useful for the Lord and to grow more and more, to bear more fruit for the kingdom of God. And I draw your attention to chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, verse 37, where he says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. And here it is. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And that's the spirit that he wants us to have, that spirit of forgiveness, to have a spirit that's merciful and compassionate and understanding with others when they blow it and when they fall, because that's what we need. One of the things I cannot stand is when I blow it and somebody, when I'm down, they kick me when I'm down. I'm sure nobody likes that. And so Jesus, understanding these things, he tells his disciples in the first century, as he was preparing them to be useful and reaching out to other people and helping other people. And he's teaching us the same thing today. And he says, and why, verse 3, Matthew chapter 7, do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but do not consider the plank in your own eye. I mean, what a picture. Here is a person who's got a bigger problem. He's got a plank in his eye. What a picture. And he doesn't see that plank in his own eye, but he highlights the speck in somebody else's. He says, or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. How are you going to help somebody remove a speck in their eye if you got a greater issue? And so he says, hypocrite, first work on yourself. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, God does desire to use us, and where are we? Where are you? Where are you in this process of being available to God? In the sense of, is there anything that's hindering you? Do you find yourself to be very critical of other people and find fault in other people and quick to form opinions of other people? If that's the case, then the first thing you need to do is you need to realize that that's hypocritical, because bottom line, you're guilty of doing maybe not the exact same thing, but you've blown it too. So realize that, hey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be doing the exact same thing. So God, help me, forgive me. And then look to yourself. That is, in the sense of, what should I do to fix the problems that I got? Let me focus on myself first before I try to help other people. Let me make sure that my life's in order before I start to help others. And so that's the biggest key. If you want to be more available to God, see, God wants to use you. There's no problem on His end. There's no problem on God's end. He wants to use us more. And if God's going to use us more, I have to first work on myself and get myself in order, because then I can help other people. And the reason why that works is because there's a process. When you start to examine yourself and you start to get yourself in order, you realize how hard it is, huh? It's not easy. And you keep blowing it. When you really focus on yourself, you see how you're inconsistent and how I really don't have it all together. I'm not as good as I thought I am. And you start to become more in tune with where you really are than where a person may think they are. And so as a result of it, it's kind of a humbling experience, and it helps you to become more compassionate with others as you're trying to help others grow in their walk with the Lord. And so the first thing to be used by God in greater ways is to make sure that you yourself are in order before you try to seek to help other people. Or that you examine yourself first and make sure that you have compassion and you don't come down hard on other people, because you know you yourself have blown it. Now, the second thing is, when you and I are looking to be available to God and to invest in people, we want to make sure that the people that we invest in is not a waste of our time. Now, some of you might think, oh, how can you say something like that, Pastor? I'm not. I'm just putting Jesus' words in my own words. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Think about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is calling some people dogs and pigs. Yes, Jesus says it, and I don't hear him say, I'm sorry for saying that. I don't hear any apology. Because there are some dogs out there, dirty dogs. There are some pigs out there. And what these are illustrations that illustrate the fact that there are some people that they don't find the value in spiritual things. And not only they don't find the value in spiritual things, some people turn and bite you. It wasn't my dog, but my brother had a dog, and it was a family dog. It was a Doberman Pinscher. And I would play with that dog. But one day, that dog bit me in my back. It was a family dog. It was somewhat our dog. And I would play with that dog, and that dog turned and bit me in the back. Now, I was agitating the dog, I'll admit it. But I was young. I was only 12. That dog should have knew better. And that's how some people are. Some people, you try to help them, and they turn and they bite you. Others, because they don't see the value, they just trample over it, is what Jesus says. And so you and I, as we're seeking to help and invest in other people, we want to make sure that the people that we're connected to are people that really want to know about God and want to grow. And so we ask ourselves, what are the relationships that we have? Who are the people in our lives that really don't care about the things of God? And do we spend too much time with them? You know that there are other people out there that need Jesus. They need us to be investing in them. And it's better to minimize and even cut off some relationships so that our time is better utilized investing in people who really want to grow and want to know God. Now, I've had some relationships in the past where really they didn't add any value to my growth and my walk with the Lord. On the contrary, when I hung around with them, they brought me down. And there came a point where I had to say, and really it was the Spirit of God working in me, but I had to come to that point where I made a decision. These relationships or that relationship, it's not fitting for advancing the kingdom of God. And so it's time to do what Jesus says and don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine. Don't invest in people who don't really take the things of God seriously. Doesn't mean just cut them off completely, but don't waste your time investing in them. Now, because it's not easy working on ourselves, is it? It's not easy growing and developing, and it's not easy always discerning who to invest in and who to just say, you know what? This is a relationship really that I cannot see God using me in. So the third thing that we have to do, the first thing is to work on ourselves. The second thing, be discerning as to who to invest in and who not. But the third thing is we need to be praying because these things aren't easy. We need God's help. We need God's help so that we can be freed up from distractions and more available for God's purposes. And so in verse 7, he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What a wonderful promise that we have from God. What a promise to utilize. And Jesus tells us that if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, and there are some commentators that teach us that it's not just a one-time thing. Well, I asked and he never responded. It's asking and asking and asking and asking until you receive the direction that you need. It's seeking and seeking and seeking. It's knocking and knocking and knocking until you receive from God what it is that you need. And then Jesus, to illustrate this point that God does want to bless us as we ask and seek him for that guidance, and that process is humbling too. That process is, God, I don't know what to do. There's areas in my life that need to be changed. They're hindrances. So, God, I'm a critical person. And I tend to, in my mind, just look at people and judge them. And I tend to be harsh when people need help, God, change me, change me. I don't like being this way. Change me, change me, change me. God, sometimes I'm not discerning, and it's easy for me to fall into relationships that really they bring me down, and I just keep doing it over and over. God, I don't want to continue this way. I want to have relationships that are promoting spiritual growth, mine and others. So God, give me wisdom. Is this an individual that should be a part of my life and I fellowship and hang out with them? Or is this a person that, you know, certainly I'll be kind and certainly I'll treat people with respect, but to hang out with them, it's just not a good mix. And Lord, give me the strength, because some of these relationships, you know, I feel a bond with people, but I know that it's just not conducive to you wanting to use me more. So help me, God, help me. And to illustrate how God does want to help, Jesus uses a very practical illustration. And in verse 9, he says, "What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" I've been a father for 22 years. My son or my children, when they ask me for food, I've never given them a stone. Never. I've never given them a serpent to eat. You want something? You want some bread? Here, have a snake. We've never done that. You want some bread to eat? Here, chew on this rock, kid. Never done. Suck on this rock. Never done that. Why? Because I love my kids. And although I may not provide their wants, I provide their needs. And if you look at our family, none of us look skinny. I mean, I am in so much trouble. I am dead. Can anyone open up their house? I need a new place to stay for a while. What I mean is deathly skinny, malnourished. Everyone looks good and healthy. They look much better than I do, much better. All right, moving right along. So he says in verse 11, if you then being evil, because by nature, that's how we are. We're evil by nature. Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. And yet when it comes to our own family, when it comes to our kids, Jesus says, you being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. So how much more your Father, who is in heaven, knows how to give good things to those who ask him. And so every need that we have, we can always turn to God and know and have that confidence that God wants to help us, whether it's to change or to be discerning, in order to be of greater value and usefulness for his kingdom's sake. And really, here it is in a nutshell. We understand this as the golden rule. He says, you do this, and you will be fulfilling what the law teach and what the prophets taught and how to relate to other people. He says, in your dealings with other people, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so, in a sense, he sums it up by saying, think about how you would want to be treated. Let's say you have a brother and they've stumbled. And you know that they do need help. You know they need help. The last thing they need is for you to come down on them and be critical and point out their faults. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you want someone to deal with you? Wouldn't you want them to come alongside of you and say, hey, I just want you to know that I love you. I understand. Maybe the circumstances are different, but I know what it's like to blow it. And so if you need any help, or if there's any way that I can come alongside of you and help you, just let me know. I'll be praying for you. I'll be there to help you in any way that I can. I want to close with turning your attention to Galatians chapter 6. Paul, in verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness." That's the spirit that we're to have. "Considering yourself," examine yourself, lest you also be tempted. Be careful to examine yourself before you help other people, because if you don't have the right spirit and the right attitude, you might end up falling yourself in the process of trying to help somebody else. See, God, he wants to use us more. And really, the way that he uses us is by being available to help other people grow in faith in Christ. That's what this whole predominantly Christianity is all relationship-based. Relationship with God and relationship with our fellow man. And if we're critical, judgmental, if we point out people's faults, if we waste time investing in people who really aren't serious about the things of God, or don't have any interest, don't see the value in the things of God, then we're just wasting our time here. And so God exhorts us. He says, "Hey, get yourself in order. Invest in people who want to be invested in. Have the right spirit, the right attitude, and know that I'm with you. And any help that you need to do what I've asked you to do, I'll be there to help you." And Father, we thank you so much for your word and your love and your mercy. And God, you've been very merciful to each one of us. And as we are your sons and daughters, you've called us to be available to invest in others. And so, God, we want to make sure that we're right ourselves, and that we're investing in people who sincerely desire you. And God, I pray you continue to help us. We want to bear fruit for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The ushers, they're going to come forward and they're going to pass out the elements. And this is a great time to examine ourselves. It's one of the things we should be doing when we partake in communion. You know, the scriptures talk about when we do partake of communion, that number one, we remember Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, Paul, he tells us that when we partake of communion, that we look back to what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sins, and he shed his blood for us to be able to have a right relationship with God by asking for forgiveness. And his blood was the perfect atonement for our sins. And so the cup represents the blood of Christ, and the cracker represents his body that was given on our behalf. And so we look back, but we also look forward, because every time we partake of the elements, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It just reminds us that he came, but that he's coming again, because he died, but he rose from the grave. And every Sunday now we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. But he's coming back for us. And we're here to occupy till he comes. And so one of the things that happens is that while we're occupying and while we're living for Jesus, things can come into the heart. Issues can start to, we find ourselves caught up in issues, and then our hearts can get cluttered with things that really aren't fitting for the advancement of His kingdom. And so we examine ourselves. That's one of the things we do. We take and we look, where are we? Have we become critical of other people? Judgmental? We've lost that compassion for others, and when others blow it, we're quick to come and criticize and not be patient with people. And so we ask the Lord to help us. Help us to overcome those things that hinder us from really loving others and doing what God's called us to do as His sons and daughters. And so we're going to take a few minutes as the elements are being passed out just to contemplate where we're at with the Lord. And Eric is going to share a song with us, and then we'll all partake together.
This is my desire, to honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. All I have within me, I give You praise. All that I adore is in You. Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul, I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me.
And Lord Jesus, truly that is the prayer of our hearts. We want You to have Your way in us, God. So we look to ourselves, we examine our own hearts, and Lord, those things that aren't fitting, we surrender them to You. We ask You for forgiveness, and we thank You, God, that You love us and that You are for us, and that You've provided Your blood, Jesus, in order for us to be forgiven and to be washed clean. And God, I thank You for how You use us and You give us opportunities to invest in the lives of others. And I pray, God, that You would continue to open doors for us. God, we want to be those servants that You can count on, and that we're always available for whatever it is that You need. We don't want to be distracted with our own lives and too busy. We don't want to be caught up with unforgiveness and bitterness towards others, Lord, especially our brothers and sisters, God. We want to be freed up from that so that we can love one another and be available to, with compassion, help any of our brothers that perhaps are struggling. And Lord, we thank You that You've been compassionate to us in the times that we've blown it. You've corrected us, but the way that You did it, You were so gentle, and it's Your goodness that leads us to repentance, and for that we are so thankful. We want to be more like You, God. And we thank You for Your great love and Your great example.